I've tried everything and it just doesn't work. And when somebody comes to that point, you're talking to a person who, however it got there, is a person who is living under the power of a stronghold constructed by the enemy. In his work on this passage of Scripture, author Anthony Evans describes a stronghold this way. A stronghold is a mindset that holds you hostage. It makes you believe that you are hopelessly locked in a situation that you are powerless to change. And that's why when you think things like I can't, or there's no hope, it reminds you and reveals to you that you are in a stronghold. So let me ask you this. What are the strongholds in your life? Well, what comes to your mind when I'm talking about strongholds? What is it that you said in your own life? You said, well, that's just the way I am. I can't help it. Well, that's just the way it's going to be. I've tried. I can't. That, my friend, is the area of stronghold that Satan has constructed in your life. These are walls of unbiblical, or a stronghold is made of walls of unbiblical thinking and behavior that entrap you, and they harbor the enemy, give him a place from which to operate to bring you to defeat. Know how powerful they are. In fact, they're very subtle because the enemy builds these walls of unbiblical thinking and unbiblical behavior, and he builds them so subtly, and we don't even realize sometimes that we are entrapped until it's too late. Finally, you reach the point where you say, I've done it all. I can't help it. There's no hope for me. And that is why we desperately need the light of the truth of God's word to shine into the darkness of our despair and the darkness of our defeat. We desperately need the Spirit of God because we are blinded so often. We don't see things accurately. We don't see them as God sees them. And we desperately need God the Spirit to bring a deep and abiding and strong and powerful conviction that wakes us up and shows us the reality as God sees it, not as we have justified in our own minds. And oh, why we must plead for God in His mercy to reveal it to us and say, God, when you reveal the truth to me, would you help me to be humble enough to receive it? And agree with you. Well, there's the power of defeating strongholds. And you say, well, I know the strongholds in my life. I've got to do something about it. And that's the way they, I can fix it. I'll just take care of it. And if that's your approach, you need to hold on, because you need to know what God says, not just about the power of strongholds. You really need to know what God says about the principle for defeating strongholds. As long as you're counting on yourself, you're going to continue to live in a stronghold and in defeat. Now, the church at Corinth, there were some people in the church at Corinth that made an accusation against Brother Paul. And, he had written them some very powerful letters. We spent a significant time as a congregation studying the first one that is included in the canon of Scripture, 1 Corinthians, and you remember, if you were here for that lengthy series, about all the problems he was dealing with, and I mean moral problems and people getting along problems and questions of legal problems, and I mean problem after problem after problem, and I mean, here's a man that was very strong and clear and confrontational about what was right and what pleased God and what needed to happen for this congregation to bring glory to God. And evidently there were some that were saying, well, when he was with us, he wasn't nearly as bold. And what right does he have to tell us about all these things? I mean, he's a mere man like we're a mere man. I don't really think we need to listen to his strong words. Well, we read about it then beginning in chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, beseech you in the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. This term base is translated in our Bible lowly sometimes. Sometimes it's translated humble. Sometimes, as it is here, it's translated base. But being absent and bold toward you, when I'm not there, I'll go ahead and tell you my demeanor, even in writing, is not the same. He acknowledges it, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. They think of him as, well, what right does he have? He's a man just like me. Why do we need to listen to him? And he gives us his answer beginning in verse 3 and really carries out through the end of the chapter to verse 18. And really, it goes from his answer is carried out to the rest of the book in one sense. But the axiom on which he answers this accusation is summarized in verse 3. What's an axiom? An axiom is a statement of truth. It's an unchanging principle. And he gives us this axiom for defeating spiritual strongholds that you will find if you overcome spiritual strongholds, or should I say, when God gives you the power to overcome spiritual strongholds, this axiom will be the bedrock that will give you hope and power for God to overcome that area of your life. Look at, if you would, in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, spiritual warfare is won in spiritual ways. I guess I'll put it this way. Winning spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. And that's the principle for defeating strongholds. Winning spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. So in this passage, God tells us about the power of defeating strongholds. And this principle for defeating spiritual strongholds, that if we are to defeat or if we are to win spiritual warfare, it requires spiritual weapons. And then I want you to notice that God tells us in this passage about the power for defeating these strongholds. The power for defeating these strongholds. And with Paul, I want to instruct you and do so by the way of a contrast of power source that he describes in verse 4. Look, if you will, at your Bible. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, when you read carnal, think fleshly, think human power. Think I can handle it. Think I can do it. I've got willpower. I've got a great attitude. Think, and I'm for willpower and great attitude. I'm for all of it. I'm for it. But really, you need to know that the weapons of spiritual warfare are not generated in the power of your human flesh, your human nature, your will to overcome. No. There's a great contrast here because the power for defeating strongholds must be a supernatural power. And even Paul, when he planted this church, he planted it not with his natural abilities and his personality and his winsomeness. He said, when I came to town, it wasn't about me.
is something God had to do when this church was planted. In fact, go with me to the letter we call in our Bible, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He tells about when he first came to town. He comes to Corinth, and remember the wickedness of Corinth, what a vile city. And he comes there and he begins to proclaim the gospel, and God does a supernatural work. And he tells us what he was like when he came to this city. Chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." You know, when I came, it wasn't that I was so eloquent, everybody was wowed by my preaching style. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Boy, he's going to have a hard time making it to the circuit to teach about leadership, isn't he? "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He said, "You know, I've learned something. I've learned that if you have a personality-driven life and personality-driven church, that's all you're going to get. And when that personality leaves, you don't have any strength. But when you put your hope in the power of God, then it gives you staying power." And now, as a man who started a church with that kind of a spirit, now tells these, and he says, "Listen, you have strongholds in your life. They've overcome you. You are controlled, and you are vulnerable. And I want you to know that the power for defeating strongholds must be supernatural power." Can I give you an example? In 1996, as I read, the Texas Rangers, the Major League Baseball team, were fighting for a division championship. On the last Friday night of the season, the Rangers were trying to win a game that would clinch their title, but the game went into extra innings. It went late into the night, and after 15 innings, the Rangers ended up losing the game. But after they lost the game, the fans danced in the aisles and the team mobbed each other on the field. They were celebrating. Now, why were they celebrating a defeat? Well, they were celebrating because in California, there was another team playing that was vying for the same title. And the other team in California lost, and the news came across the stadium that the other team had lost. And because the other team had lost, whether the Rangers won or lost didn't matter, they had clinched the division title. And where I read the story makes this comment: they couldn't pull it off by themselves, but somebody elsewhere in the country took care of the enemy for them. And you know, you need to know that you can't handle spiritual warfare on your own. You need power, an outside power source. God the Holy Spirit, with his powerful, transforming word, a supernatural work that God does to transform you. That's how you overcome strongholds. A supernatural power. But then this verse goes on to tell us this. Look, if you will, at your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but," and here's the contrast, "mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The term "pulling down" is a military term. It means to pull down a wall. And I want you to try to imagine a Roman soldiers, and they're fighting against a fortress that's built. And they eventually overrun the fortress and they conquer it. And then the Roman soldiers will take that fortress and they tear down a wall so that that fortress can never be built again and never cause them trouble again. And when they tear down that fortress, they tear it down one wall by one wall by one wall until it is razed. And I want to tell you, that is how God Almighty does a work in your life. He tears down wall by wall. And with this, I want to encourage you with Paul that there is power for defeating strongholds. And it is not just a supernatural power, it is a sufficient power. God's power works just wall by wall. Unbiblical thought and thinking by unbiblical thinking torn down. Unbiblical action torn down. Self-dependence torn down wall by wall. Learning to rest in supernatural power. And God does this wall by wall. He pulls down those strongholds built up in your life. You feel like there's never any hope for you. But my friend, God does this supernatural power sufficiently, and he does it wall by wall, thought by thought, claiming his truth and temptation by temptation. Oh, sometimes we fall. We learned about it in children's worship. Sometimes we fall, but we claim his truth again, and we get back up, and we watch God step by step, wall by wall, overcome the strongholds that bring us into defeat. And that is his promise. And you know, God is working even in your life today to help you to tear down wall by wall by wall. Now, how does God do this? How does God do this? You say, boy, listen, I've got some strongholds and I see it, and God is showing me the reality. Now, what do I do from here? Well, you're going to have to come back next time, because the rest of this passage tells us about how God does this, and frankly, my voice is almost done. And so am I. And all God's people said, if you can't get an amen anywhere else at Stanley Heights except that, have mercy. Well, so for now, let's think about the power of defeating strongholds. Wouldn't you agree that they're powerful? And would you agree with God that the principle for defeating strongholds is true, that winning spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons? And would you acknowledge that God's power is enough? You need his supernatural power. I mean, think about that area of your... How are you doing on your own? His power is enough. It's sufficient. And so today, it may be that you realize that his power is sufficient to save. My goodness, there's no other way for a person to have their sins forgiven and flee the wrath that is to come in a place the Bible describes as hell, and to know a place of bliss the Bible describes as heaven. And the only way a holy God who is just in all his ways can be satisfied is that he in his love became one of us, and as Jesus, God the Son, lived a sinless life and died a death for you and for me, making the way free so that in grace, by faith, we could receive him and know the forgiveness of sins. Oh, his power is sufficient to save. And if you have not yet come to Christ to be saved once and for all, there's no better time than today and now. And His power is sufficient as well to set you free. Lord, I can't do it, but I know You can. And so, God, with Your help and Your power, I'm willing to trust You wall by wall, thought by thought, unbiblical act by unbiblical act. Sometimes I'll fall, but God, with Your grace, I'll get back up and trust You to tear down those strongholds. I tell you, God is able, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of even those strongholds in your life. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed.